This is 90.7 WFAE News. I'm Kevin Kniestead. In March, a CPCC transgender student was suspended for a day and a half after she used a women's restroom. She says a security guard told her she needed to use one of the campus's three gender-neutral bathrooms. The dispute generated a small protest on campus at which Andrea Williams spoke about the incident.
I can't use my school's public restroom for girls without being harassed and humiliated by ill-educated staff members. This to me is sad. I feel unequal, mistreated, inadequate, segregated, and bullied. It's unfair to not to be able to use the restroom of my choice in my own school.
But this issue is bigger than CPCC. It comes up at schools throughout the country, which is why Troy Perdue joins us this morning. He's an attorney at East Tennessee State, but he also advises attorneys at other schools on challenges facing transgender students and workable solutions. In fact, that's the title of a discussion he'll be part of this summer at the annual conference of the National Association of College and University Attorneys. Troy, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So we hear about this in the news a lot. How big of an issue is this in everyday life on campus?
It's a very big issue for policymakers at every institution, which is why we will be speaking on that to all the higher ed lawyers in June. But there are very few students on a campus statistically that this applies to, and yet it's a very significant issue for them personally, and institutions want to be responsive to those students.
And what are the responses? What are the suggestions to accommodate transgender students?
Many schools are moving from the birth certificate-based or birth sex-based segregation and moving towards self-identity, or what most schools are calling consistently asserted gender identity. And that is typically handled by providing gender-neutral or gender-inclusive housing, gender-inclusive restrooms, individualized spaces in locker rooms and shower rooms as ways of accommodating people of various genders.
You say most schools are moving towards this?
I'd say many are. I think statistically it's probably, 10-15% of schools actually do this presently. Many schools are addressing this issue and maybe doing little pieces. Maybe restrooms, for example, family restrooms can be easily transitioned into gender-inclusive restrooms so that there's space for anybody to use. It gets a little more difficult when it comes to housing, for example. Some schools have only sex-segregated housing. They don't have co-ed housing. So, and many of those buildings are already built, so new buildings may include gender-inclusive dorms or floors, but many schools aren't there. They have existing housing that's been there sometimes for 100 years.
Well, this isn't just about designs of buildings, though.
It is not. The designs of buildings is what creates some of the more obvious concerns for higher education. You're absolutely right that the underlying issue is how do we create an inviting space for gender nonconforming students. It just happens that the points of conflict come in sex-segregated spaces like restrooms and housing.
So are we heading in a direction where every bathroom will be gender neutral, or, you know, all dorms will have spaces that are gender neutral? Is that the direction that we're heading?
I don't think so. Instead, the most progressive schools are simply asking students to identify the gender they feel is compatible with them, with their identity, and allowing them access to that space. So if it's a trans female, she can use female segregated spaces. So there's not even a need to create co-ed bathrooms or co-ed housing or gender-neutral spaces for restrooms and housing and locker rooms.
Okay, so where are we seeing opposition coming from?
Obviously, a huge resistance is coming for many private schools and religious schools and schools in more conservative areas who are uncomfortable with there, for example, a young 18-year-old daughter being in the same physical space, sex-segregated space, where they believe only biological females should be. So you have outcries from families, the parents of students, and you have difficulties with state legislatures who are frequently resistant to this for political reasons. Currently, 8 states recognize gender identity as a protected category, but within even states that don't, there are frequently municipal laws that do the same thing, that protect gender identity as a protected category. So there are multiple layers.
Troy Perdue, attorney from East Tennessee State, thank you for joining us this morning, Troy.
My pleasure.